So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable, Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, everybody. It is January 23rd.
Very good, Doc.
Yes, it's the January 23rd episode. Tonight we've got Jerry Oates, the former owner of Great Championship Wrestling out there in Georgia. And, of course, we've got from Wrestling Society X, Lizzie Valentine. You might know her as Valentina. From the indies. Lizzie Valentine's going to be on the show. She's going to tell us a little bit about Wrestling Society X and what kind of things we can expect when the show debuts next weekend.
Does she know your history with female guests?
She does not, but she...
Well, thank God.
I'm pretty sure she has a good idea that when there is a female guest on the show, and there's me too, there's a very good chance that you could win Female Interview of the Year.
Okay. All right. Congratulations, Doc.
Congratulations.
You are the man.
You were in that interview, too. Congratulations to you, too, Les.
Well, thank you, sir.
The Wrestling Radio Awards, in case you don't know what we're talking about, were last Thursday, and Wrestling Weekly did win Female Interview of the Year for the May interview that we did with Christy Hemme. We want to thank all of you guys who voted, of course. We were finalists in Interview of the Year with Mean Gene Okerlund. Which, it was a shame, that was such a great interview, but you weren't there that day, Les.
No, well, see, and that's why...
that's why we lost.
So well. No, that's why you did so well.
Probably. Ah. And also, we were finalists for Show of the Year for 2006. That's a great honor, and we thank you all for voting, and we're going to try to do better this year, so we'll win bigger awards next year.
There you go. What can I say, Doc? You've allowed me to get on your coattails and ride this thing, and it's done well. Thank you.
You're welcome, Les. Very welcome. We were talking earlier, myself and Les, before the show, and we had gotten an email that Les was pretty surprised about. A man from Denmark, a fan from Denmark, had emailed us, and he told us that he listens to the show live, and it comes on at 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning his time, yes.
His time.
And Brian, God bless you for staying up and listening to us, our nonsensical patter sometimes at 3. But, you know, to me it was just amazing when I received that email to think that, you know, we reached out that far. I mean, I realize it is the Internet and this, you know, and it's cyberspace and all that good stuff, but I had no clue. And then on top of that, now you told me that we also have listeners in the UK that's at 1 a.m. and that they also, it's not that they listen to the archives, but they listen to us live.
Yes, we appreciate all of you guys on the other side of the world who listen to us live, because, I mean, you know, it's 1 a.m. It's an honor for us to have you guys stay up late just to check us out, so we appreciate that. And, of course, all you Americans, that's nothing to say against you guys. We appreciate you guys being here, too.
Yeah, we're not mad at you guys because we're not on here. If we were here at 3 a.m., I wouldn't be.
That's absolutely true.
You know what? I've just started personal training a young couple here at Bally's here in Cincinnati, one of the Bally's over the west side of town, and... So I'm up at 4:15 three mornings a week because we start training at 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And I know, Doc, that's about the time you're going to bed.
That's middle of the night
for
me.
But when I was doing competitive bodybuilding, that was the time that I trained,
mm-hmm.
was at 6 a.m. And, It's just, well, you know, I was fresh mentally and physically.
Yes.
So.
But 4 a.m., no. That's about the time I'm getting ready to say, I'm getting a little tired, you know. I might have to get to bed before the sun comes out.
I know. You're nocturnal, and I although I have heard rumors of you hanging upside down from the rafters, I've never seen that. So I don't know if that's factual or not. We've got a loaded show tonight, along with Jerry and Lizzie and whatever. We also have Brian Alvarez, who's going to be on for Hot Topic.
Of course, Brian.
First of all, you mentioned this before we went on the air to me, too, and I realized that Bam Bam Bigelow passed away a few days ago. I had met Bam Bam. I did not know him well. I was always impressed with his ring talent, but, you know, I didn't know him. But now,
right.
I saw the front page of our site, and you... obviously, we're a big Bam Bam Bigelow fan. And then you said there was more to it than that, and you were going to talk about it on the show. So
I was a big Bam Bam fan. What it was when we were little, me and my brother, and we used to watch wrestling together all the time. We would go to our friend. There was only a few friends in the neighborhood that liked wrestling. So we'd all get together, and we'd watch the pay-per-views and, you know, shell out $3 a piece or $5 a piece or whatever. My favorite wrestler was Marty Jannetty when I was little. I always played the Rockers in my backyard, and I was always Marty Jannetty.
Okay.
Now, my brother's favorite was Bam Bam Bigelow. And we used to have arguments over who would win, Bam Bam or Marty Jannetty and all this. And, you know, like kids usually do. And then came the time where Bam Bam Bigelow was wrestling Lawrence Taylor.
Right, I do remember that.
Yes, and my brother was so mad that Lawrence Taylor beat Bam Bam. I mean, he knew that, you know, it was scripted that way and things like that, but he was so mad that they even scripted it that way, he resolved to never, ever watch wrestling again. And he never has.
Is that right?
Never has.
Wow.
And even during the NWO years and the Monday Night Wars, when everybody was getting into it, he would not come back and watch it. And you know, I was just saying that it would be kind of weird, because if Bam Bam had not lost to Lawrence Taylor, he could be here in this spot where I am right now, or actually producing the show with me right now, or, you know, running the phone lines right now or something like that. He would have some part in it, because he was that big of a wrestling fan.
Wow.
But it was my brother's love and loyalty for Bam Bam that kept him away from the sport.
Well, you know, let me say, I was a big Lawrence Taylor fan in terms of what he was, you know, as a linebacker in football. I mean, he obviously was one of the very best. But again, yeah, I you know, that was a little disconcerting to me, but I didn't walk away from the business and stay away.
Hey, I couldn't believe it. He completely, like, he would not watch it anymore.
Wow.
That just made him so mad.
You know,
so,
one of the things I would like to add here is I had read the St. Petersburg newspaper account or whatever of this, and when he had been in court over the motorcycle accident he and his girlfriend had had,
right.
It was brought to light that he couldn't pay his child support, that his divorce and whatever else had wiped him out pretty much, and
mm-hmm.
that he was living on his disability. And, of course, to pass away at age 45 is just too early. I mean, he's still a young man.
Right.
But, you know, on the heels of Cowboy Lang dying in Portland, and, of course, Bobby was in, like, 60, I guess. But still, he had lost everything in a divorce as well. I'm told he ended up with a drinking problem in the latter years, which I didn't know about, you know, when we were traveling together at times. But the point I'm getting at here, Lang was also penniless and homeless and living in a homeless shelter when he passed away. And this will be posted in my column on Thursday as well, but it's... and I mentioned this to several people, is any young guys or girls starting in the industry, this should be, warning or establish guidelines that find something to fall back on.
Right.
You can't always, you know, one of the insurances is Nationwide, it says life comes at you so fast. And,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of truth to that. You can't. You don't know. You know, it may, even if you make it in this business, an injury could shorten your career. and you're going to have to find something to do.
Absolutely.
You know, so here's two examples of that. And when I say, Bobby Lang I knew well, Bam Bam I didn't, but it saddens me that anybody that's given that much of their life, their physical self, to an industry that ends up with nothing to show for it.
Right. A lot of Bam Bam's money troubles also came from not only the divorce, which he got wiped out in, as you said, he had opened Bam Bam's restaurant, which went under really quickly. And he had invested a lot of stuff in that, and, you know, it went under.
Yeah.
And
That I didn't know. I didn't read that.
Yes. Few years, it just... He had done an interview, I guess, about a year ago, and pretty much said, you know, it's a pain in the butt to be Bam Bam sometimes, you know. He wanted to get away and get away from that, and he wanted to get away from the fame, too.
Right.
That came with it, and which was why I never, you know, for the fact that he was such a big part of me and my brother coming up on wrestling, I always wanted to interview him. But when I heard and read all this stuff, which was about a year ago, like I said, I never tried to contact him until something, you know, I was waiting for something good to happen to him, I guess.
Right, right.
And it just didn't happen. So it's kind of sad, you know.
You never know.
Yeah.
That, and like I say, but you know, I got an email just a week ago or so from a young lady. I'm not even sure from where. I guess it reads a column on the Insider, and she said, I want to sign up for Elite Pro Wrestling Training course.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, how old do you have to be? And I said, well, you know, for insurance reasons, you can't work with anybody in the gym that's under the age of 18. And she said, well, that's 4 years away.
So, oh, wow.
Or five or whatever. She was 13 or 14. And I said, listen, I said, you know, if you could get into amateur wrestling, if that's possible for you at this point, start weight training when you're 15, get your high school diploma, and then, you know, consider wrestling. So
they're hearing all the exceptions rather than the rules, like Roddy Piper and William Regal. I believe he was 15 when he started wrestling.
Yeah, I was 19 when I started the business, but and the truth is, I was fortunate enough to be able to get into broadcasting and producing and one thing and another. But I mean, it's like as a trade, you know, I had worked, I had taken an automotive shop, I had been involved in drag racing and that sort of thing. But I've been fortunate. But
definitely, the more skills you have, you know, the better you can be to the company.
Well, you know,
you can't wrestle.
That's the other thing. So many kids are just so discouraged because they can't. I won't be the next Chris Benoit or the next Steve Austin or the next Hulk Hogan or whoever, but that doesn't mean you can't do something within the industry.
Right.
You know, be a publicist or run websites or work as a referee. You know, one of my dear departed friend Mark Curtis, Brian Hildebrand, was a tremendous little worker, but he was too small, and... But he ended up being one of the top referees ever in the business. And so, you know, he took that rejection and turned it into, you know, something else within the industry.
Absolutely.
So,
and I was on a message board it was a few weeks ago, and I was talking about that. A guy was talking about, you know, how he could come in and become a manager. And everybody's telling him, of course, you need to go train to even to be a manager, to be a referee, to be whatever, you know.
Right.
You should go to a good wrestling school.
Yes.
Because if you don't know, I attributed it to this. It was like, if you're an actor and you're going to be in a TV show or a movie, you don't just learn your lines and then come in there and do it.
No.
You read the entire script to know what it's going to be about, because the entire script is going to, you know, you're the way you say the lines, the way you do the lines. That's going to depend on how the script is.
Let me say this, in watching independent TV shows, and I have the opportunity, I guess it's an opportunity sometimes, I'm not sure, to watch too here. You know, a lot of it's about detail. Which it takes a while to get, and sometimes you never get. It's not something you can teach. It's a feel for something. But, I mean, and what I'm getting at is not just the wrestlers, but it's the referees being in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time, the right body language. It's not who takes the biggest bump or yells the loudest or looks the ugliest or wears the best face paint or anything like that. It's little things that make all those big things work.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that come with time. But again, I've told guys who have been to our camps and clinics or that I've worked with, one of the referees, if you can find Mark Curtis tapes, watch how he would see somebody getting their butt handed to them, and his facials would show that he could feel their agony to a certain degree. Now, was that relative in the main feature of that particular match? No. But if a viewer happened to look at the referee, they weren't distracted because he was giggling or chewing gum nonchalantly or just it wasn't into the action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean it all comes into play. It's everybody wants to walk their girlfriend out to ringside in the Independence to be a valet,
mm-hmm.
Well, okay, if she's not beautiful or if she's not buxom or she's whatever she is or isn't, the point is. All that's about timing as well,
right?
And their facial and being if you're the guy you're managing or valeting for or whatever is getting beat up, then you've got to show that with your facials and your body language. You've got to cheer for them when they're if they're a heel, if they're a bad guy, then you've got to project that. If they're a baby face, so it's all relevant, and it all makes the overall picture work and the overall flow of the thing work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so hard to even to describe these things. They're almost something you have to see and feel,
Right. And I hate to keep bringing the show up, but the No Second Chances DVD. We had hired a local football coach to come out, and he was going to do the arm wrestling event. He was going to arm wrestle a wrestler. But that led to a match with somebody else in which he was going to be in that man's corner. Okay, so I noticed during the show, he's standing in the corner, and he's just standing there.
Yeah.
His the guy who's supposed to be his student is getting his butt kicked, and he's just standing there.
Well,
and he's looking around.
One of the things that we pushed in our camps or in my training at all, especially when it comes to tag teams, if your partner is getting pounded in that ring, and you're leaning nonchalantly on the corner, chewing your gum, and looking at the girl with the large mammaries in the front row,
right.
Then if you don't care, why would the masses care? Why do the audience care? I've told guys, in working a tag match and building to, if I was getting the hot tag, there's times I would almost blow myself up on the apron, pacing and, stretching out and cheering my partner on. And if you don't care, that's a part of the match. A lot of people think, the two guys in the ring are the main thrust. No, well, but the guys on the outside are a part of this too.
Right.
See, and you noticed that. And so if he didn't care, why should you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a quick story. And I know we're loaded. We got to get on to Brian Alvarez.
Absolutely.
And then Jerry and then Lizzie and so forth. But in the Carolina territories, that when I worked there in the 60s and the 70s, one of Jim Crockett Sr.'s rules was no wives or girlfriends to the matches.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a no-no. And the reason for that, I was told, I wasn't there long before I showed up there, is that one of the baby faces, his wife, came to the matches. And now Mr. Crockett Sr. used to sit at a table at Park Center every Monday night in Charlotte. That was the arena where we did the weekly shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he greeted, and he always, try to get on the pulse of the fans. And they came up and talked to him, but they liked the matches they did, whatever. So anyway. Long story short, after the week after this babyface had been beaten to a pulp by his opponent, a fan came up to Mr. Crockett and brought to his attention that this babyface's girlfriend or wife, whoever it happened to be, was reading a book and was very nonchalant while he was bleeding and being beaten.
Oh, wow.
And so at that point, Mr. Crockett said, that's it. No wives, no girlfriends. But he wasn't going to allow that to happen again. And of course, realize for young guys who are listening, or girls, or whoever, is that was going. That goes back to when we were selling this business as a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So it took away from that effect.
Right.
And they're thinking, well, if this guy's wife doesn't care if he's bleeding, then why, you know, maybe it's not real.
And even now, it just it just throws you off of,
well, sure.
You know, losing yourself in the show.
Well, you know, sometimes, and I guess maybe it's because I'm in the industry, I have been in so deeply for so long, but a lot of times I'll watch, if I'm watching on television and in the midst of a heated thing in the ring, I see people grinning and laughing and waving in the audience. That kind of distracts. And, of course, they're not part of the show,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's, I'm thinking, well, if these two guys or four guys or whatever it happens to be in the ring aren't affecting those fans, then something ain't right here, you know.
Right.
We got to get on to Hot Topic and Brian Alvarez, do we not?
Absolutely. Quickly, I want to go over one last thing. Bam Bam Bigelow, Georgie Amacropoulos sent word that Bam Bam Bigelow's service is going to be on Friday.
In New Jersey, right?
In New Jersey. And they said that if anybody wants to make a cash donation or send flowers, they could do so at the funeral address in Ray. You have to help me with his name. He was the former Doink, Ray Lissamelli.
Who?
Ray Lissamelli.
I'm lost. You've lost me. I don't know.
He played Doink the Clown.
Well, yeah, okay. There were several Doink the Clowns. So.
Right. Okay, Lissamelli, guys. If you'd like to make a donation, do so in that name for Scott's memory and to help cover the cost of the services.
And while you mentioned Georgiana, we were going to have her on the show last year, and she was ill or something. I'm saying it here so everybody can hear it. Doc, you need to get a hold of Georgiana and have her on the show. Here's a lady who goes all the way back to the. She sent me a bunch of her newsletters. And you know, she does a monthly newsletter, and reading through them, I was just, you know, it was like it took me back. It was almost nostalgic. It's called the Wrestling Chatterbox,
mm-hmm.
and it goes back to the fan clubs and so forth. And she does in terms of how long she's been doing, you know, fan club columns and stuff in magazines and so forth. And I think she'd be extremely interesting in a historical aspect. To all the listeners. So anyway.
Excellent. We'll do that. And we're going to leave the address of the funeral home over at WrestlingWeekly.com, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Hot Topic with Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer, of Wrestling Observer Live, and, of course, the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. He is coming up in just a couple of minutes here. On the way, we've got... of course, Jerry Oates, former GCW owner, and Lizzie Valentine from Wrestling Society X. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back.
What an ovation for Bam Bam Bigelow!
Bam Bam Bigelow!
Bam Bam Bigelow!
From Asbury Park, New Jersey, weighing 393 pounds, Bam Bam Bigelow!
I have done it again.
A monster from Asbury Park.
I have been here many times before. Hurt myself again today.
Bam Bam has a rather unusual style.
And the worst part is there's no one else to blame.
A 400-pounder with terrific wrestling skills and a menacing touch.
Amazingly light on his feet for someone weighing a fifth of a ton. Seems he's violence prone.
Ouch, I have lost myself.
Bigelow hammering Mr. Monday Night.
Tremendous amount of authority. Lost myself again, and I feel
Bigelow doesn't need to have a scalp tattoo. Tattoos add a nice villainous edge.
Bam Bam, a force to reckon with. Bam Bam, look at that maneuver.
The man has tattoos on his head.
What agility on the part of Bam Bam!
Bam Bam Bigelow, normally very aggressive.
See, people love to hate. And as long as they want to hate me, or I could do anything to make them hate me, then I know I'm doing my job.
It was something he always promised me, and he always says, Mom, don't worry about it. Think of someday when I grow up and I make it big, I'm always going to take care of you.
Undertaker back in the ring, and he's been sternly tested here by the Beast from the East.
Hey fans, Bam Bam Bigelow here, boy, and I got some red hot secrets, moves, and strategies for you.
Bam Bam does have an unusual style.
Power punch, punch, kick, power punch.
Well, it comes calling Bam Bam for nothing.
Thank you very much, Bam Bam Bigelow, the Beast from the East.
Here's the winner, Bam Bam Bigelow!
You wouldn't want someone as much fun as Bam Bam to lose now, would you?
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from the Figure Four newsletter, also Wrestling Observer Live with Dave Meltzer, it's Brian Alvarez. He's going to do Hot Topic with us once again this week. Brian, thank you for joining us.
How's it going?
And I guess, Brian, everybody knows. Let's get right to it. Everybody knows what the big story is this week.
The firing of... I actually don't even know the exact number, but a lot of guys.
I estimated 20.
Yeah.
The mass exodus.
It was a mass exodus, and it was interesting for a couple of days because guys kept getting released. But I think in the end, it's not really that big a story because most of the guys, with a couple of exceptions, a couple of notable exceptions actually, most of the guys were guys that sometimes you'd watch TV and go, why are you employed? And some of the guys, I don't want to mention any names, but a couple in particular that I watched, and then some of the guys were mostly brought in to work the ECW house shows, and when they axed ECW house shows, that was sort of the end of those guys.
Right.
Some of the guys were down in developmental that they were really never going to do anything with, and I think one of the best examples is Seth Skyfire from Ohio Valley, who was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a period when I watched Ohio Valley, and he was the best worker on the whole show. But he looked like every indie guy you've ever seen, and he was very small. So really, there was no chance of them doing anything with
him. You know what, Brian, I said to somebody, I said, Seth was a good little worker. The operative word is little.
Yes.
And therein lies the rub.
Yes.
You know what gets me about all these releases, though, and I know Les will stand behind me on this 100%, they let the Basham brothers go. Now,
yeah.
I understand they have no one to guard anymore, but nobody knows it was the Basham brothers.
Well, it wasn't them guarding. One of my trainees, Derek Nykirk, was the other. He and Doug Basham were the security guards for Paul. Very quickly, let me just interject that as far as OVW, I get that on a weekly basis. The level of talent since we were taping our shows down there has dropped appreciably.
Yes.
And there's no question in my mind why Jack Bull has been let go. My question was when I first saw him was why has he been signed?
Jack Bull was like a weird, he was one of those guys that was a weird cult favorite, but he was a cult favorite to a small group of people in Louisville, Kentucky. And there's not any guarantee that that would have translated to anywhere outside of Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, you know, there for a while, when OVW first got on the CW network here, he never wrestled. He just was drunk and had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and came out and did silly things, right? Like one day he was going to jump into a paper cup filled with tissue and water off the roof of the locker room. But anyway, once he wrestled, I realized why they hadn't been letting him wrestle.
Yep.
You know, and then Silverback,
Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, I keep thinking, okay, he's going to have an aneurysm because all he was exaggerated body language and blowing, you know, pumping himself up. And I understand that. That's too many. The one thing that I catch here, Brian, and I don't know if you guys, if you and Dave get to see OVW at all anymore, but it's everybody, I shouldn't say everybody looks the same, but virtually, they're all trying to be a combination of Cena and Batista with the and Jeff Hardy with the exaggerated body languages. Once the bell rings, though, it's pretty much downhill from there.
I watched Ohio Valley until WWE and Ohio Valley made the deal for DVDs. I can't remember when that was. It was
four or five months ago
or something like that. I got some DVDs for a while after that, but then that whole thing kind of just stopped. So I haven't seen it, but everything, as soon as Cornette left, that place just went downhill. And Heyman, he had some good shows. He had some shows I thought were real bad. And it's just never been the same. And that brings, I guess, us to the other big firing, which was the guy in charge of Deep South, Bill DeMott. He is no more. He's been replaced by Tom Pritchard. And I think if you talk to a lot of the guys in Deep South, there will be very few tears shed about Bill DeMott. There were a lot of people that were not high on his teaching philosophy, which was a lot of calisthenics and a very military style, and not so much a how to be an actual pro wrestler style. And he's been replaced by Tom Pritchard, who I think if you... Tom Pritchard did a lot of stuff in developmental for many years before... John Laurinaitis came along, and then he was released. And if you look at a lot of the talent that comes out of developmental during that period and compare that to a lot of the talent that came out of Deep South since 2004, it's a world difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody saw this coming, and I think there were people trying to get rid of Bill DeMott since before he even started in Deep South. So this one didn't really surprise me.
Let me interject something here, because I work with, well, it doesn't say on the Wrestling Weekly website, nor on Insider, where Doc got the information, with the bio on Dr. Tom, but he actually has been working with me at EPWT since 2004. But hey, this is just a minor oversight with my co-host. I'll put my foot up his rear end at a later date. the point is, DeMott was here with me, you know, when I had the contract. He was a great guy to work with. My personal relationship with him was fine. He was very helpful. In fact, there were some evenings he would come in with the people that paid to be at HWA and would help out there. He was a big help with Lance Cade in getting Lance over the hump, honestly. I don't know, you know, I have no pick with Bill. I've heard the same thing that you're talking about, Brian, that, you know. But then, as I said to Doc before we went on the air, there were guys, contract guys at my place that had Stanford on speed dial complaining that the old man ran them too hard. And Jimmy and Danny told me before, when I signed on, you're going to get this because some of these pre-Madonnas think because they have a contract that, you know, they're supposed, I guess, sit around and eat bonbons. I'm not sure. But as far as Dr. Tom, yeah, he is one of the best handlers in the business, period, end of story. I mean, personally, I love him. He and I talked on Friday. I knew this was going down. And, you know, he felt bad for Bill, too, and I do as well. I hope he lands on his feet. The funny thing is, here's a guy who's a good hand in the ring, has size, and is better than a huge handful of wrestlers that they're currently using on Raw and SmackDown and ECW.
Yeah, my understanding was he had a bunch of head injuries from wrestling, and so the idea was, you know, you probably don't need to be in the ring too much.
Yeah.
But I actually went to a Tom Pritchard seminar up here about a year ago. And, you know, he was great. I mean, he was great. He spoke to the young guys, and about half of the seminar was wrestling training, and the other half was a lot of teaching people about what this business is all about.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to just watch the reaction of all the wrestlers that were there, because, you know, there are a lot of guys that have done some training and have done some matches but don't understand the business.
You're right.
And this was eye-opening. It's completely eye-opening to a lot of guys. So I think it's going to be a good thing.
You know, that's something that Tom and I have talked about repeatedly, too, since we've been working together, is that it's so important. You know, I mean, we go do 2 or 3 days at a camp somewhere. You know, we obviously want to put a lot of in-ring time, but we felt that because so many – well, you are a product of the indies yourself – there's so many guys that are self-trained that they really don't know the details that we're talking about here. And somebody has to actually explain them. You know,
yeah.
I was telling Doc earlier, it's not just bumps and how many can you take, but it's about the little detail things, body language, and it's when you do something and the timing, stuff that you really that you have to have a feel for, and it's not it's something that comes with time. It's not something you really teach.
Yeah, it's this business is about so many different facets, and Tom, it was pretty clear from the whole deal that he understood pretty much all of them. So
yeah, he does.
I think it's an improvement, but you know it's going to take a while to find out because there are a lot more issues in developmental than just you know who's in charge of training the guys.
Well, you know, let's jump back to OVW just a minute. You know, I had just said to somebody in a conversation the other day, if I didn't know Danny Davis and I didn't know Al Snow, and I were just watching that TV, my suspicions would be that they didn't know how to train people. But I know they both do. But I believe now what they're doing is exactly what the parent company is saying: teach them to be entertainers, teach them to do goofy promos or vignettes, opposed to so much. You know, it's not so much the steak, but the sizzle now. And I'm going to go on record as you can say I'm partisan, prejudiced, whatever, and I probably am. Chet the Jet, T.J. Dalton are two of the better hands down there who happen to come from a place called HWA. And Nykirk in Deep South also was started with me. In fact, Dr. Tom sent him to me. He had done a tryout with up in Stanford a number of years ago, and Doc gave him my card and said, here, go get this man to put the basics on you and come back to see me. So I wanted to mention Doug Basham. Danny's is a heck of a hand, too. But Doug I've worked with off and on for 8 years. He is Danny Davis's nephew. He has size. He is mechanically as sound as anybody in this business. He understands the flow of a match. He knows how to put a match together. And to me, I was thinking just yesterday, if I were running TNA, I would bring this guy in if I were afraid that because if he showed his face, they would consider him a cast-off or enhancement talent from WWE, which they probably already figure they have enough of, then put him under a mask because he's worked under a hood before. Give him to Jim Mitchell, who's about to separate himself from Abyss. And if he's handled right, here's a heel that can work with Angle. He can work with Sting. He can work with any of their top babyfaces.
I think I've actually seen Doug Basham and Angle. I think they may have had a match in Ohio Valley. I just know that he's one of those guys, and everything you said is true. I watched him forever, and, you know, he was great in the ring. He cut great promos. I mean, he was so good. And they brought him and Danny up, and the whole idea was we're going to make them a twin brother team or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And they stripped them of everything that they had that was a positive. They made them both look as generic as possible. Never spoke.
Thompson.
Sure. Never spoke. Never got really any sort of a chance. And what's funny is the other team, exactly like that, a giant twin brother generic tag team, was the Gemini, who also got released.
Right.
And I thought, okay, you've got guys like MVP being called up, who, God bless the guy, he's not great in the ring. And a number of other guys down there that, you know, they complain these guys aren't great in the ring. And meanwhile, they fire Doug and Danny Basham.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, well, you know what, and having worked in the system, a lot of people say, what are they looking for? And I say, I give up. What are they looking for? Well, I don't know either sometimes, you know.
They're looking for The Rock, like there are a million of them out there.
Well, you know, that's one thing. There was this particular executive is no longer with the company, but in the first couple of months that I was under contract, this particular person came in and spoke with my crew and said, you know, we're not looking for just good wrestling. We're looking for the next Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I was upset because, you know, everybody, you know, there's no such thing as a roster of 25 Steve Austins, for God's sakes, and there's never going to be, and everybody can't be him. So anyway, it upset me because I thought that's, you know, putting a damper on a lot of these guys' hard work. And when it got back to the up north, they also called and said, tell the kids that he's full of crap, you know, and he was. But now I'm hearing the same thing, that people are saying, well, we're looking for the next Rock or the next whoever. And you know, what I think what a lot of people don't understand, Brian, and you especially from having worked in the business, is that, that's cool. We all look for the next Rock or the Undertaker or Steve Austin or Ric Flair, whoever the hell it happens to be. But that's 10%.
There's the rest of the show.
Yes, that's 10% of the roster. And what are we going to do for the other 90? We better have some. You know what? A kid said to me just a while back. He said, you know, he was talking about having gotten a tryout and with a company, and they said, well, they liked his work, and he said, but they have me doing jobs, and I laughed, and I said, that's because the guys you work with don't know how, and you're stuck with having to carry him. But that's true. I mean, sometimes the guys doing the jobs have to be better workers than the guys that are going over.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree with that.
As far as Rock and Austin, I wouldn't even go as far as saying 10% of the roster. That's 1% of the roster. You still have 99% of the roster you got to fill out with guys that have a clue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if your only concern is why isn't The Rock down in developmental, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's you've got to, and you know, and the way their guys are being used now, I was saying, you know, they like Angle had a concussion, and Joe's knee obviously is not 100%, but I said if the people writing these shows understood how to use talent on the lower levels, then I mean, and keep some depth and keep some guys good in that depth, then they wouldn't. Then Joe maybe could have opted out of this one match and given that knee a chance to heal a little bit better,
which would have been better for the whole program too,
yes.
Since it wouldn't have been rushed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I have one last question for you, Brian, because we got to get out of here. But here's something I was talking to Les about when these firings all started. Are they making room to give a one-time big payoff to certain man whose name rhymes with Ronald Dump?
No.
They have enough money. This happens pretty much every year. Every year, it's usually around WrestleMania time, but there's usually spring cleaning every year. They just can a whole bunch of lower-level people. And,
you know, in part, what it amounts to, and I'm not sure this is politically correct the way I'm going to say it, and it really doesn't matter if it is or not, but it's the truth, is that being a publicly held company, they have people on the roster that are not being used and are being paid.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to. This is like throwing the stockholders a bone to show you that we are not, mismanaging your money. We just released these people who we have. Creative doesn't have anything for, or whatever the, you know.
And you also have to consider that anybody can be rehired.
Yeah.
And that, with the exception of the Bashams and Turkai, which I think were bad cuts, I mean, everybody pretty much, they weren't needed at this point. So.
Yeah. Right. Well,
yeah, I agree.
We appreciate you coming on for Hot Topic, Brian. Check out Brian Alvarez's stuff over at F4WOnline.com.
That's right.
And also, you can catch him every Sunday on Wrestling Observer Live. You can check that out at WrestlingObserver.com. It's on Sirius Satellite Radio.
One thing on Figure Four Weekly's website is the Vinny and Brian show.
Absolutely.
Is a must listen to.
Very, very must listen to.
Really depends on the shows, I guess.
Well, it's sometimes Vinny just seems like he's not awake.
That's every time. I have to prod him throughout the show.
You get one of those tasers.
I should, actually.
Just touch him. You know, hey, Vinny.
That's right.
Time to work. All right, Brian, we'll catch you again in a few weeks. Thank you for being on the show tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
Brian, always a pleasure. Good talking to you, and our best to Dave, please.
Thank you very much.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got former GCW owner Jerry Oates. He is a... quite the legend down there in the Georgia area. He was in the Georgia territory, of course.
Yes.
And he trains people now.
And if you quit babbling and get us into the break, and we'll get Jerry on.
You are the boss, my friend.
No, you're listening. I am not. Ask my wife.
You are listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. Be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio.
I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher along with Wrestling Weekly. Right now on the line, the former owner of GCW's Great Championship Wrestling out there in Georgia. He's, of course, a famous wrestler trainer. Jerry Oates is on the program. Jerry, thanks for being on with us tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me.
And he's my famous friend.
Yes.
For many years.
Yeah, Les keeps me posted on what's going on.
We go back to 1971, Doc.
1970.
70, okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's another story.
Just like it was yesterday.
Exactly.
And you know what you've done? Well, besides you've run a gym business, you've wrestled, you've promoted wrestling, you've done television, you built an arena, you've promoted body NPC. For those who don't know, NPC is National Physique Committee. That is the governing body for amateur bodybuilding in the United States. You've run the Southeastern Regional Championships, NPC. Kept yourself busy, and now you basically are out of the wrestling business.
For right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got my wrestling school back up. We got 17 guys we're training.
Good.
My brother's got 18 over in Macon, and had somebody approach me about getting back in it, so we're looking at that. You know, someone I've known for a long time asked me, was I still doing it? I said, nah. I said, you know, that's something I did. And he said, would you be interested in getting back in it? I said, maybe. And he said, well, I'll be willing to help. And he said, I'll just be a silent partner. And I've been kicking it around a couple of months, and it looks like we're going to do it.
Well, good, good.
And
that's where you belong. That's where
you belong. Yeah, and, you know, I got me a little gym going again, and I got a lot of things going. And, you know, I've been in touch with my brother and my brother-in-law, Ron Newman, over in Savannah, who his dad was a promoter, and it looks like they're interested in running Savannah in the east coast of Georgia. And Ted, my brother, it looks like he's interested in running the middle part of Georgia. So,
wow.
And we got the backing to do it. So that's, you know.
Excellent. Doc, I've gone down and done wrestling work with him in Columbus, Georgia, but also done down for the bodybuilding shows. And it was always, I'd always go down two or three days before the bodybuilding show to help him get ready, and I hosted the shows and stuff. But anyway, the neat thing was to ride around the city, and every place we went, there was nobody that didn't know Jerry Oates. It was like, hi, Jerry, the people at the bank, and you know, it's just like, you were born and raised there.
But yeah, you know, I've been blessed, you know, in that respect, and, you know, this gentleman that approached me about doing it again, I said, I don't know, you know, I said, I want a little time away from it, and so, you know, looks like we're going forward with it, and, you know, we're running.
If you're running a school, then I'm going to expect the phone call that Miss Alice and I would come down and spend a day or so I can whip your kids around.
Exactly. You need to go over and whip Ted's kids around.
Doc, some of the best fights outside the ring are between Ted and Jerry Oates. You never know.
You never know. Ted and I get along great now, and it looks like, you know, we can do something good again, and we're really looking forward to doing it, you know. And
I'm going to bring this up, and because you're not, and you're trying to be a gentleman, and that's cool, and I'm not going to get into detail, but you built, I was down there, what was it, about a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. and we did the Fred Ward Memorial Show. And
yeah, that was a great night.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Fred Ward was a promoter in Columbus, Georgia for the National Wrestling Alliance for God knows how long, for years and years and years. And part of Georgia Championship Wrestling. So anyway, Jerry had busted his hump and built, to me, the nicest independent wrestling arena I had seen. I mean, I walked in this place, and I wanted to take bumps, and I don't take bumps anymore. But it was just, I mean, it was great. TV wall, great sound system, air conditioned, locker rooms on the second floor, ramp, entrance. I mean, it was professional. It was.
But we got another building to put that one to shame.
Is that right?
Yeah. We're blessed, man.
You put 2 years into that, right?
Yeah. That was then, this is now, you know. So, you know, we're going to move on, and we got a great guy with us, and knows nothing about wrestling, don't want to know anything about it, just wants to
make money.
Help old poor boy do something that he loves doing, you know. So, you know, and I've been approached about doing some more bodybuilding shows, so,
cool.
You know, there's a lot of things looking up.
Well, you know, the thing is, you and I both have been affected by it. We come from the same generation, basically. I broke in about 10 years ahead of you, but still, we grew up in the territories. We learned to respect this business. We learned it the hard way.
Well, that's why a lot, most people don't respect it anymore.
You're right. And there's so many, I mean, I said this the other day. I said, this amazing thing is, you can't get into minor league baseball without going through a background check, and you got to be voted in by the other teams in the league. But you know, if some guy with a few bucks in his wakes up this morning and has got his board and got time on his hands, if he plays his cards right, before the sun sets, he can be a wrestling promoter.
Or be a wrestler.
And he doesn't have to know anything about the business.
Well, we've already told all of our guys it's a year.
Yeah.
They can spend a year.
Well, you know, when I had HWA here, and never less than 6 months, and you know, that's something while we got Jerry on, too, that those listening, if you have, ideas of becoming a wrestler, if somebody says, I will train you for X number of dollars, and I will make you a wrestler in 3 months, or 3 weeks, or 8 weeks, or whatever, put your money as deep in your pocket as you can and run like hell.
Exactly, because it's not going to happen.
No, well, you know. And you can't look at a guy and say, I'm going to, you know, it's like, well, the three of us talking here, Doc and Jerry and I, we all drive cars, but there's a good chance that we all took a different length of time before we learned how.
Exactly, and you never did.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'll
ridden with you, Les.
I remember that. And next time I come to Columbus, I won't be able to drive. I have to fly.
And I was 11, so.
But you know, it's like when I wanted, you know, start wrestling, you know, my former brother-in-law, Dick Steinborn, who many say was the greatest talent to ever put on a pair of boots. And you know Dick very well, Les.
Sure.
And I told him I wanted to wrestle, and he hit me with the greatest line. He says, what do you have to offer the wrestling game? And I was stuck for an answer, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I was just going to say, I would have been, sure.
And you know, that was, Briscoe had just started. And I didn't know much about Jack Briscoe at the time, and he says, can you beat Jack Briscoe? I said, well, I don't know. Well, I come to find out later, nobody could beat him. So, you know, I mean, he made a point. What did I have to offer, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just a different era. You know, you were around a lot of guys with a lot of great ability, and you tried to pick up, you know, what you could from different ones, not to imitate one guy, but pick up what you could and go from there. But he made a point. What do you have to offer? I mean, do you have a physique? And can you wrestle? You know, I mean, it's so many things to it, you know,
a minute to get something out of it.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, so many kids, they don't want to put the toll. You mean I have to actually train and get in shape? And
well, it's just like when I had my gym, this lady come in one day with a 17-year-old boy, and I had a picture of one of our competitors. I mean, he competed in the junior USA or something.
Right.
Had great abs and just looked great. And I had a picture of him up there. And I was signing him up, and she saw that picture. She said, "No, I don't want my son to look like that." I said, "Ma'am, you don't have to worry. He won't look like that." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, this guy, you know, he doesn't miss a workout. He watches his diet. He's here every day." And I said, you know, that's what it takes. She said, no, well, I wouldn't mind if his stomach looked like that. See, she changed.
Right.
When I told her, don't worry, he won't. Now, why won't he? Mm-hmm. And it's the same about the wrestling game. You know, you can't go out. I've never gone out and asked anybody, do you want to be a wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
They got to come to you, you know?
You know, I wrote a column, one of my weekly columns, talking about, you know, how just people with a few bucks get in the business or, you know, and don't really earn the respect of anybody, nor do they respect the business or those who came before them. And the crazy thing was, I got an email from a young man saying that, you know, he had tried to wrestle and he got hurt, so he couldn't wrestle, and now he's saving his money, he was going to promote, and that you had to be creative. Gosh, I didn't know that. You had to be creative, and you had to get the people's attention and all that. And but basically, what he was telling me too was what he was going to change everything, right?
Right.
And including the business, and that if those guys who came before me didn't like that, then it was too g damn bad.
I know. I mean, everybody.
And
you know.
And I wrote back and I said, I think you missed the point. First of all, my column. I said, second of all, if you're promoting a circus, I could care less. I won't work for your circus. But as long as you're treating the people in the circus with some respect and you're paying them and paying your bills, then I could care less what you promote.
Well, it's like, you know, most promoters now or guys that run towns or whatever, they don't know a padlock from a hammerlock.
No.
And they really don't. I mean, and it's almost a lost art, you know.
And they don't know talent. You can't evaluate talent. That's the other thing, too. Years ago, you know, the promoters, the main promoters that Jerry and I work for, Doc, wrestling may not have been their only income, but it was their major source of income. Plus, they couldn't just bring green guys in off the street and charge somebody to watch them bounce around mindlessly because they realized they couldn't cheat every professional wrestler because they had to have them.
Exactly.
But today, I have been to some independent shows where I was ashamed to be there. I mean, I honestly was, you know, because you used to be a wrestler. Well, I used to wrestle. I never did any of this.
Exactly.
Whatever this happens to be, and I'm not sure what that is at this point, you know. And that's the sad part. And I don't think people understand when we say respect, well, hey, what do you want me to do, kiss you? No, you can get my respect. You can earn my respect. I don't give it to anybody. And Jerry will tell you, Doc, that we had to earn respect of the veterans when we got in the business.
And how it changed, I don't know, but it still says out front wrestling. You know, I mean, they think you have to do all this stuff, and, you know, it's the guys won't last as long as we lasted. That's
yeah, we were just talking earlier, Jerry. It's more the sizzle than it is the steak.
Right.
You know, it's these kids. I was talking to a young man the other night who told me, well, he had lost 60 pounds or 65 pounds, and I guess he had, but he was still soft as jello. Didn't look athletic, and then his concern was, what kind of cute sayings can I put on my tights?
Exactly.
And music, and I said, you know, how about this? Learn to work and have a match, and go in there and worry about that more than all this other stuff. The other stuff will come.
It will come.
Yeah.
You know, there were several guys that I trained. My brother and I, we trained Greg Brown. He was probably one of the most solid guys we ever trained.
Your brother, and Ted.
Ted, yeah.
Yes.
And we trained Greg Brown. We trained Marty Jannetty, who, you know, Marty was a great amateur wrestler, and he had that desire, you know. He listened and he did well for himself.
You know what? When he was, I think it was last year or whenever it was, he was up with WWE for a short period of time and had a match with Angle. And I said, every young independent wrestler should watch this match because it made sense.
Exactly.
They told a story. But that's,
and he's a great piece of talent. I mean, yeah. You know, not that I trained him, he just had it in him. You know, it's some have it and some don't. You know, I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, I've been to a lot of NASCAR races, and I've been sitting in stands, and I hear, you know, guys sitting around, I can do that, I can do that. Sure, you can do that. Go do it.
Yeah.
You know? It's
you're absolutely,
you know,
right.
You can teach somebody holds, but you can't teach them timing.
No.
You know, that's a gift. You know, it's like these great basketball players or football players, they're gifted with agility, timing, speed, you know?
we're talking about bumps, Jerry, and it's not just taking bumps, but when to take a particular bump or
exactly.
when to sell or when to come back. It's a deal for the
You watch it now, it's robots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you watch the first match, if you see the first one all the way through to the last, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's sad. But we're going to try to do something that nobody else is doing.
Excellent.
It's called Wrestle.
Right.
let me ask you a question. Have you seen any Ring of Honor's DVDs?
No.
Well, they don't come south, but I think here in Dayton is about as far south as they get, just north of me. But you would now they have the 140-pound flip flop and fly division. They try to give them a little, but your top matches are good solid stuff. They've had some 60-minute match. Well, Samoa Joe's in TNA now, and CM Punk. I saw they had a 60-minute barn burner up here in Dayton a few years ago. Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness, an English kid that I trained.
Yeah, he was down here before.
Yeah. They did a match that was voted one of the top 10 last year in Meltzer's Observer. But it's more what you would appreciate it. You would appreciate
right.
it's the best thing to say. You would appreciate it. Get some of those DVDs if you can use some of those guys and have those, I know you'd love those matches. But
the fans would still appreciate it if you had somebody that could do it.
You're right. Well, that's the other thing too, Jerry. I think some of these kids will say, you'll hear somebody say, well, nobody buys that anymore. I said, well, they buy it if you know how to sell it.
Nobody knows how to do it.
No, that's to have a good match and to have a match that's built on psychology actually takes hard work. It's harder
exactly.
to do that than to go out there and break your body in half doing goofy bumps that don't make any sense.
But the thing about it, Les, and when I started, I was surrounded, just like you were, by great talent.
Yes.
Great talent. And you learn from those guys.
Sure.
There are no teachers anymore.
Well, that's it. The kids get with each other, and I'm always, kids will say, how do I get more? I said, you get out from that rut you're in, you got to work with guys better than you because then you have.
That's the only way you learn.
Yes, you have to rise to the occasion. Working with guys, I've had some guys that come through my school. The old man's too tough. He pushing me too hard. He wants me to be in shape. Yes, I do. And so they'll go somewhere else. And I've seen this happen on a couple of occasions where I've had guys that had talent, and they would leave for whatever reason. Go to a lesser federation or whatever, and at some point they would try to elevate those guys to their level, but at some point over a year's time they would diminish and go down in their
talent. Absolutely.
Because it was easier than trying to drag these other guys kicking and screaming up to their level. Excuse me.
They'd rather be a big fish in a small pond, I guess.
Right.
Do you follow a lot of what's going on television today, or do you just catch it every once in a while? Or
never watch it.
Never watch it.
Never watch it.
And you know what, Jerry? We were talking about that. We had a young man, James Gutman, who's on our show once in a while. He's written a book called Wrestling Insanity, and he has a website by the same name. He's got a heck of a dry sense of humor. But the point is, when he was on the show a while back, he was telling us that not just from my generation, but from the next generation, he's had a lot of guys interviewed on that site, and they don't watch the product.
They don't watch it, no.
No, and I said, you know what? That's really sad because it's like, saying Cal Ripken Jr. doesn't watch baseball anymore. That would be a shame.
That would be horrible.
Yeah, or Willie Mays, or Johnny, Johnny Unitas is gone. But, I mean, if he were
alive. But bless, it's degrading.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It's degrading. It's
I'm not adverse to you. Well, from the time you started to the time I started, the business has evolved in terms of how people dress or how, a lot of things. And there's been, it's more high impact, which is, I'm not adverse to that. It's just that so much now, there's not a story.
No, there's nothing.
They're trying, instead of painting the car a different color or improving the motor, they're trying to change the car.
Doc, do you know Leo Garibaldi?
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, I know who he
okay.
is. I mean,
okay.
I don't know him.
Okay, but he was one of the greatest minds.
Yes.
I've ever been around. And I think I've been around some great minds, but I think Leo was probably 20 years ahead of his time, really. That's my opinion. But anyhow, I was in Dallas. He brought me out to Dallas, and we were sitting out there in the sports arena in Dallas, and he said, you know what? He said, you can have bleachers. You can have popcorn machines. You can have lights. You can have, they didn't have music. Nobody played music in it then.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have all this stuff, cotton candy, all this stuff. He says, you got the ring there. He said, if you have no talent, you have nothing. I never forgot that.
That's right.
That's the end of the story.
Yeah. Good quote.
If you have no talent, you have nothing.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, Leo, I think, was one of the, I'm like you, one of the most fertile minds in this business.
And oh, he was a genius.
I said, here's a guy who, like he said, he was ahead of his time in a lot of ways. You had to pull him in what was seemingly out of left field. This was
exactly, but it wasn't.
But now, I said, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago, I said, you know what? Leo could come out of retirement right now and never miss a beat.
Exactly.
He could, Doc, Jerry, we had Wrestling 2 on last week. And one of the bookers in Atlanta that was that built Mr. Wrestling there, Doc, was Leo Garibaldi.
Mm-hmm.
And he took, well, you got to realize the Georgia territory, Georgia Championship Wrestling was a state. It was not like the Carolinas. They had three states, Virginia, both Carolinas. It was Nashville ran parts of Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi. They ran basically the same. I mean, Georgia is not a huge state.
Right.
And they took the Anderson brothers, and how long were they on top there, Jerry?
Oh, God, for years.
Mr. Tim Woods, I mean, well, Wrestling 2 was talking about, how many years, Doc, did he say, what in the Georgia territory?
I don't remember exactly.
But I mean, and part of that was because of Leo.
Yes. And you know, my brother-in-law always told me, you know, to watch everybody and listen to everybody. And you know, this time around, I won't be held back. I'll be able to do what I've learned over the years and what it should be.
Right.
And it's going to be great. And, you know.
Well, you know, in your part of the country, too, there are still a lot of people that are so much want to see, not necessarily retro, not going back 40 years, but they want to, that's still the foundation.
They right. I mean, we're not going to go back to Hackensmith.
No. But I'm just saying, you know, and that's, I know when, and we did some seminars in the Carolinas over the last few years, and Spindale, well, you ever worked Spindale when you were in Charlotte?
Yes.
Okay, that was a spot you what Carcon ran about 2 or 3 times a year. The old Spindale House. I was amazed. You know, independent wrestling up in this area, if they draw 250 people, they're just excited. They were putting 500, 700 right down the road in Shelby, 1,000 people. I think, whoa. I mean, but that's, you know, that's the region, and it's fertile for that, you know.
It's still ripe for the picking.
Yeah, yeah. But you need seriously get some Ring of Honor DVDs and watch a couple of the guys from NOAH, Kenta against Samoa Joe. Brian Danielson and Nigel. Some great. I mean they do. They Gabe Sapolsky who books the thing. He worked for Paul Heyman when Heyman was running ECW and he's got a fertile mind like Heyman's, but. But he's. I told him. I used to tease him. I said, "Somewhere you've got that old school Booker in you." But he's. You'd like him. You really would.
I'm sure I would.
Jerry, I want to thank you for being on.
Guys, I appreciate you guys having me on. I really appreciate it.
You know, it's always a pleasure. Doc, I want to say that this guy has been a faithful friend of mine for too many damn years, and he's a class act. He's an honest man. I've worked for him. I've worked with him. I've yelled at him a few times. He yelled me a few times.
You always kept me in check when we had the bodybuilding shows. I appreciate those kind words, Les. I really do.
I love him like a brother. And
I love you too. And you've always been there when I needed you, and I'll need you again, I'm sure.
Well, I hope so. Alice and I enjoy spending time with you and Kathy, and I'm available.
I know that. If you can put up with my brother.
Well, I can put up with that little fat boy. I can get along with him, too.
He is not doing so good now. He had to have another plate put in his neck. He's got two plates in his neck now.
Oh, wow.
But he's Ted's still a trooper. I believe he'd lace him up one more time anyhow.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart. You give Teddy my best and Miss Kathy as well.
I promise I will.
And I love her too.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, brother.
Jerry,
I appreciate y'all having me.
All right. Bye-bye, Jerry.
Anytime, bye-bye. My friend.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Jerry Oates here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got a little bit more news to get to that we didn't get to get through in the first hour. And, of course, Lizzie Valentine from Wrestling Society X is going to be here in just a little bit. Hang on. It's Doc and Les on Wrestling Weekly.
We've got Rumble to talk about, too, right?
Absolutely. We've got Rumble.
Don't ask me to pick a winner of Rumble.
No, we're not going to do that part.
All right, cool.
But we got some other good stuff coming up.
Okay.
Hang around, guys.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling Solved, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's a stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. A few news items that we didn't get to at the beginning of the show. Les, you're throwing me off. I'm already like stumbling as it is.
I know. Well, you're having activity in the chat room.
Yes, yeah. I sometimes pay too much attention to the chat room during the show.
I know.
I can't help it. I
don't see the chat room, so when you tell me some of these things, I get active too, and
I think I have adult ADD to some degree.
Let me make a statement about some of the things going on. As far as Jerry O's concerned, I'm going to say this again, and I really don't care if I upset somebody or I don't upset somebody. Jerry O's has been my friend since 1970. He has, in every way, shape, or form, been professional and a class act. He has taken care of paying his bills. He has always treated me professional when I've worked for him. I have never been shorted a dime. I have always been treated as a professional, and I have never known him to do otherwise. Now, if he kicks dogs and cats behind my back, I don't know. You know, but I won't knock him. And if he runs a show, I'll guarantee you the show will be run professionally. And guys from our generation have a problem with young punks that want to play. What I liked about Jerry's shows is Jerry ran his shows, and it was a business. And some kids can't deal with that. It's a hobby to them, and they want to play, and they don't want any restrictions. And that's not the way we were brought up in this business, nor is it the way I'll die in this business. And he won't either, and I respect that. And there's a lot of guys that are like that. Harley Race is like that, so you can badmouth him if you'd like as well. But I just, please, not to my face. I'm an old beat-up guy, but I'll still try to put my foot in your mouth. Okay? So as far as I'm concerned, Jerry is a gentleman, and I will always respect him for that.
Well said.
Let's move on.
A little bit of news from the final resolution pay-per-view. Former WWE tag team, the Heartthrobs, are backstage. Romeo Rosselli and Antonio Thomas.
They were throbbing.
They were hearting and throbbing back there.
Okay.
Although not much is known right now, it's believed that they may have had discussions about coming into TNA with Vince Russo, Terry Taylor, and Jeff Jarrett. A lot of sources, of course, Romeo is going to take a big Italy trip. I believe sometime this week.
He's Italian.
he's taking a tour of Italy during the month of February. When he does come back, he is going to appear on the show.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll talk about TNA possibilities and find out about his Italy trip and things like that.
He was on a HWA show up here at Whiskey Dick's. They had a bar show. They had about 350 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And, well, Abyss was on the show and Shark Boy.
Excellent show.
Yeah. Rosie.
Awesome.
Or actually, he's wrestling as Chemo, who is a name that all the fans that came around HWA, that's what, you know, chemo and ECMO were the island boys with me, which is Umaga and Rosie, to those who weren't around HW.
To the youngins.
Yeah, but they had a big turnout, and they're going to be going back there. I think in March is the next date. But anyway, yeah, Romeo was on that show. So
I'd love to see chemo and ECMO together again.
You would, huh?
I would love to see the Island Boys get back together.
Did you ever? Oh, you saw. That's right. When they were 3 Minute Warning.
Yes. 3 Minute Warning. They kicked some butt.
Yeah.
But as the Island Boys, it was a little more intense. They were a little more intense as a team, I believe.
Yeah. You know, those guys, we tried to make them heels when they first came in because I figured as big as they are, you know, it doesn't make sense to make them baby faces, but the fans wouldn't buy them.
Right.
And they they did real well as baby faces for almost the entire run that they were here, and then we switched them heel toward the end. But
too much charisma out there.
Yeah. Well, Maddie, Chemo, Rosie, whatever you might call him. I think I told you this. He just lives 10 minutes from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he and his wife and the kids. So, and he's, in fact, I'm sitting here looking at a picture of his beautiful young daughter.
I met him. He's a nice man, and he's all business, my friends.
We have on top of our big screen TV, we have a picture of the Malenko children, our own grandchildren, the Foley children,
wow.
Rosie's children.
I'm going to have to send you a picture of my daughter to put up there.
D-Lo's children. Benoit's son. Anyway.
When the school pictures come in, I'm sending you a picture, and you have to put it next to all those famous children.
All right, just don't send me a picture, Doc. I see that every morning when I check the website. Enough.
It's just me giving two thumbs up. It's like, good morning, Les. It's just my way of saying good morning to you.
I hear you.
According to E! Entertainment's website, there are reports making the rounds that Kevin Federline, oh, God, he may be brought back to the world wrestling entertainment.
I can see Kevin and Donald Trump against,
to take on a regular role with the company. We talked about last week how Federline had, you know, he earned sort of a good reputation, a little respect backstage.
Well, yeah, they said that he asked some of the boys the best way to get them things done, and that's obviously makes sense. So, you never know. I mean, you and I weren't married to him. We don't know him. We just know the rap that he's got for, because of course, Britney's not being Miss Pristine goody-goody two-shoes here lately either, is she? So,
no, absolutely not.
So, I don't, maybe it's the pot calling the kettle black. I don't know. But
do you remember those old commercials where it was the guest jeans and they had the model and she said, nothing comes between me and my guest jeans?
Yeah.
Well, I think Britney should do some miniskirt commercials like that.
Oh,
nothing comes between me and my miniskirt.
See how you are. All right. What are we doing?
We've degenerated enough.
Yeah, you have. I just go along for the ride. And of course, we'll get into some heavy breathing here in just a few minutes when we get Lizzie Valentine on the show.
But right now, it's time for the pay-per-view prediction game, Les.
All right.
The Royal Rumble is coming up.
Like I said, I am not silly enough to try to pick
this Sunday. Usually most years, it's like almost a gimme between like three people.
Yeah.
This is not one of those years.
Here's a safe bet who won't win it.
Right.
The Miz.
The Miz will not win. The Boogeyman is not going to win.
No. Nor would they be in the same building if. Never mind. But we're gonna pick the other matches, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Getting on to the first match, it's going to be a tag team match, sort of a return match, but definitely a grudge match. The Hardy Boys, Jeff and Matt, of course, taking on M&M, back together again.
Back together again. Yeah. Honestly, I like the Hardys as a team better than I like them in singles.
Me too.
I really do. I mean, I think Matt's the more solid of the two in singles. Jeff obviously getting the better push of the two. But I think now somebody chose Johnny Nitro as the most improved. I don't know if that's overall in the industry or whether I would, but I think he's come a long way. I think in part, though, Mercury helped that because when they came in as a team, it was, Joey was, basically the
The worker.
The captain, the anchor, whatever you want to call him, of the team, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, that foursome is, well, and here's the crazy thing, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's the writers, whether it's Vince, whether it's Stephanie, I don't know, is not so immured with tag teams, yet you've got, I mean, Kendrick and London and Taylor and Regal and, you know, the Hardys and Eminem, and you've got the basis for a heck of a tag team division. I mean,
absolutely,
really,
yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing where I thought TNA, when they split America's Most Wanted, made, you know, I won't say it was a mistake, but I thought, you know.
It was a little dent to the tag team division.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I think that's something that where they could have, you know, that I think if you're, instead of just trying to do what the opposition does, try to, you know, add something a little different, I think one or the other build a good tag team division and they've got something, you know.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
so who's going to win, the Hardys or Eminem?
I was skirting the issue, wasn't I?
You're trying to avoid the question.
Yes, I was.
The question is not going to go away, Les.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm going to guess there's no tiles at stake or anything. I'm going to guess the Hardys.
I'm going to go with you on that. I'm going to say the good old Hardy boys will go ahead and take that. Next up is the ECW World Championship. It's between Bobby Lashley, who's now just Lashley, versus Test.
His mother doesn't call him Bobby anymore?
No, just Lashley. She's like, Lashley, come to dinner.
Okay, whatever.
It's getting cold.
It's he and Test? Is that the deal?
Lashley and Test, yes.
I think Lashley will keep the title.
I will have to agree with you on that one.
I think the higher-ups are, you know, they've marked him for stardom, whether you want him to have it or not. I think the guy's got a future. He's a little green right now. To me, well, and so I can't really say this about any of the major title holders here right now, but to me, a champion at any level, whether it's down here in HWA or up there in WWE, needs to be able to control the match. And what I mean by that is lead it or pull it back together if it's falling apart, or, you know, slow the pace if it's too fast, or speed it up if it's too slow, whatever the case may be. I think the champion should be the most experienced guy, and that's obviously not the case at most positions right now.
Right. The World Heavyweight Championship, the SmackDown title, of course, between Batista and Mr. Kennedy. I'm not going to do the impression, guys.
I think that's the no-brainer. I think it's Batista.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you on that one, too. This it seems like a real easy thing to predict. I think they're going to try to throw some curveballs.
But I don't see Kennedy as a strong champion. I mean, I see him more as a pain in the butt, you know, type of heel who aggravates the sin out of you and you want to kick his butt just for general principles. But I just don't see him as a champion. Although you've heard me say before, I like the heels as champions of the baby faces chasing. But but I think in this position, Batista's the stronger personality.
And I think Kennedy's got a lot more time ahead of him.
Well, sure.
To improve and to be ready. And one day, you never know. But
yes, you don't.
But I don't think that day's going to be Sunday either. So I'm going to go ahead with you on that one. Lastly, it's the WWE Championship, John Cena versus Umaga.
Cena.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Cena on that one, too.
Although I was,
And I know that they're going to throw some kind of curveball. They have to. This is kind of like
What did they tell me? I did not see the end of Raw last night. I was busy watching Studio 60 on Sunset Strip. Which just came back on, and I'd gotten hooked on it before it took its hiatus. So what? Something they were announcing as they went off the air saying Cena may not be able to defend his title.
Yeah, there was I believe a storyline now where Cena's injured. As far as everyone's concerned, it's just a storyline.
Yeah.
And then Cena will end up, you know, defending that title.
Somebody was saying, well, you know, questioning the validity of that in terms of does that make sense going into the paint. And I think, but in Royal Rumble, the Rumble is actually the crown jewel of that particular show.
Right.
You know, so if plus you've got the Batista title, you've got, you know, other things going on. So in the event that, they actually pulled the trigger on that and you know, which, you know what, would be a good swerve, honestly.
Absolutely.
If Cena were not able to defend the title.
Would he have to give it up? Would they replace him?
I don't know. They don't establish. Years ago, we used to establish that a champion must defend his title every 30 days, not every 30 minutes. And, of course, another reason I didn't get excited about watching the main event last night is I didn't want to see Jonathan Coachman and Cena the first time. I don't know why. I couldn't imagine why I wanted to see it the second time or a third or a fourth or
right.
anything. But anyway, we used to always – those were things that – it comes back to the word details again, right? It's something we always established that made sense. A heel champion could walk his way around you, you know. I don't like the idea of just, well, you know, I'm the boss and I'm mad at you tonight, so you will defend your title against this guy. That's, to me, that makes the title much more meaningless. It takes away the
competitiveness.
It takes away the power of the title. I mean, it's like whether the Colts or the Bears win the Super Bowl, at mid-season next year, the commissioner is not going to say it's the Colts. I'm mad at Tony Dungy, so he's going to have to defend his Super Bowl title tonight.
Right.
okay. See, that there's my problem with a lot of things in all the major companies. Well, not just the major companies, the minor companies in the business, period, I guess I should say, across the board, is a lot of it just doesn't make no common sense to it.
It just doesn't reflect reality.
No.
All that much. It's sort of like its own world at a lot of points.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, it's just, here again, it's like these silly handicap matches. Why would you go out and, I saw an independent guy jump out of the ring and to argue with his valet and got counted out. And I said to the, you know, I said, that seems stupid. What do you mean? I said, well, again, I used Peyton Manning and the Colts. And I said, Peyton's not married, I don't think. I said, but let's say he and his girlfriend have been having an argument and in the fourth quarter and the Colts are down by a touchdown and they're driving for they're driving for the goal line and his girlfriend comes out on the field and says, I want to have a word with you. And he just walks off the field to argue with her. I think he's out of a job at that point, or at least they'll take him to a psychiatrist and have him evaluated for sanity.
Right.
You know,
and
it's stupid.
But there wouldn't be any blame for the wife coming out there and wanting to talk about it at that time, because that's when they usually do want to talk about things. When,
well, yes, but
when you're watching football.
But it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. His focus. See, that's the other thing. If you are a real, if you understand athletics, if you have ever been a real athlete, then you understand that when you go out there, I mean, even our business being a work, when it was time to go to work, I went to work,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, deaths in the family, arguments with your wife, car trouble, I mean, whatever it was, you had to set that aside.
Until the end of the show, yes.
Yes, thank you very much. And so it's they do these meaningless fantasy things that nobody can buy into, so and then they wonder why nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they asked me, they said, well, what would it take to make this guy jumping out of the ring getting counted out work for you? I said, if she walks out and says, I've got 24 hours to live, I'm dying of cancer or something, then I could understand why his focus would, you know, not be on that match, because it would become meaningless.
What if she passed out?
Well, but why would she walk out there to pass out?
No, if she was just standing outside. Remember, when Shelton Benjamin's mama had a heart attack?
Yes.
Something like that.
Please don't remind me. or Buff's mother.
You don't want to get me in on a booking meeting, because...
No, I don't. Because I would pick you up bodily and throw you out. That's
no.
What
you've been in, actually, on a booking meeting with me before.
I would take your cane away from you and beat you over the head with that.
I'm going to, you know, these all seem so one-sided, these matches for Royal Rumble.
Cut and dried, right?
Somebody is going, this can't go this way. I'm going to change one of my answers.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Eminem on the Hardys thing.
Okay.
So we don't agree on everything.
You were mentioning you thought, now see, I'm honest, I'm going to be very honest here with everybody. I haven't paid that close attention to Rumble. do you, you mentioned it comes down to two or three guys. Who are the two or three guys that you think?
Well, like I was going to say about it, is every year it seems like, you know, it's going to be two or three different guys, but this year, it's not one of those years. It's not like that this year.
Right.
They
like,
haven't put a lot of promotion. They haven't been pushing that many people to, you know, usually the top three people, the last three left come out and say, I'm going to win. Only one person has done that so far, and that was Shawn Michaels. And I don't see Shawn Michaels winning it.
I don't see the value. I mean,
I don't
he's one of the better talents in the company, but I don't see the value of putting him over in the thing. I don't. But you know, that's the other thing. Like you say, it's like where you kind of figure so and so is going to win because he's going to move on to the title match. But it's not that clear cut. It's easier, like I said, to tell you who's not going to win.
Right.
You know.
I could tell you though, it's going to be a heel.
Okay.
Because I believe deep down in my heart Cena is going to be the champion come WrestleMania.
Well, I guess the thought was Helmsley and Cena at Mania, which obviously can't possibly happen now.
Right.
And that would have made sense too, I think.
Yes.
You know?
That would have been a good one.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Let me say that, you know, I read all the sites and the whole, you know, the Triple H bashing and who he, you know, and all that aside, whether he does or he doesn't, I don't know, and it doesn't affect me, but he's one of the stronger talents, so you got, you know.
Right.
It would have made sense to play that direction, of course.
Maybe they want to put Shawn in that position. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It could be somebody, it could be the Great Khali, you never know.
Oh, my God, please.
Please, yes, but.
Khali and.
Can you see that happening?
Khali and the Boogeyman versus The Miz and MVP.
And Tori's dog.
And MVP. Yeah, and we're marking it that pay-per-view down to $5.95.
Absolutely.
And we're giving you the $5.95 if you will please turn in and watch this abortion.
Check it out anyway, guys. See if Khali does win or not. It's the Royal Rumble Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on pay-per-view. Quick break. When we come back, Lizzie Valentine's going to be with us. She's got the inside skinny on Wrestling Society X. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Jeez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. You are going to see her debut next week on Wrestling Society X on MTV. Lizzie Valentine's on the program. Lizzie, thanks for being here on Wrestling Weekly.
Thanks for having me.
Lizzie, we were discussing how you got started in this business before we came on the air, and I would like to, I think that would be of interest to our listeners. It's of interest to me. You took summer school, you graduated from high school when you were 16.
Right.
Right. And then you spent 1 year in college, and against your mother's better judgment, you also attended wrestling school at the same time.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to graduate high school early was because I knew if I was in college, like, I'd be away from my mother more, so I'd be able to sneak around and go to wrestling school because there was no way she was going to let me go. I had originally went to check out Johnny Rod's wrestling school in Brooklyn with my dad, and he just didn't like it at all. He didn't want me to be around the guys at all, and my mom just is totally against it. You know, she's always been against it, so that was the only way I was going to be able to do it.
Wow.
So, but now you didn't go to Johnny's school. Which school did you go to?
I ended up going to the Doghouse. It was in Brooklyn. I was trained by Homicide. He's on TNA Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I ended up going there, and it was really cool. He was, like, the best trainer ever. We trained. I actually started off as a valet, and then Samu from WXW in Pennsylvania, he wanted me to go on tour and wrestle for the troops, and he was like, we're leaving in 3 months, get ready, learn to wrestle. So I told Homicide I need to learn to wrestle, like, right away, and then we trained for 3 months, and I went and did the tour.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I know Sammy. That's, you know, but now you're living on the West Coast now, right?
Yeah, I live in California.
Okay, so now after you started wrestling, you moved to the West Coast.
No, I did wrestling for a long time on the East Coast. And I wrestled for so many places on the East Coast, like New York, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Florida, all over. And then I moved to California for like a month. I moved in with my boyfriend, and we were doing like XPW wrestling. But that fell through, so we moved to Nashville to try and work for TNA. And it worked out for a little bit. I was on TNA for like a month, but then they just dropped my storyline, so that was it.
Well, you
and then
you
I lived down there for like 8 months, you know, trying to pursue TNA,
right.
But I just really didn't like Nashville that much. Like, I'm from New York City, so it was really different for me.
Well,
so
I tell you, Nashville is, my wife and I go through every year going to the Mobile Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion, and we comment every year how Nashville, I mean, now when I wrestled in Nashville in 68, 69, and 70, you think it's a small town now, you should have been there.
Yeah, I mean, the people are really nice. Like, I really like the people in Nashville. Like, coming from New York City, the people are a lot more forward and, I'd say, rude.
Yeah.
So in Nashville, the people, like, were so nice. The customer service was great. I got to be a face the whole time I was wrestling down there. I was never a heel once. I got to win every single match, which is kind of cool.
Excellent.
Yeah,
you
know,
can't beat that deal.
Where the racetrack is out at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, that's where TNA was, and there were some other local,
well,
like...
Where that racetrack is, or in that same proximity, used to be the old Fairgrounds Coliseum, where we used to wrestle every Wednesday night.
That's cool. Yeah, they had the fairgrounds I wrestled.
Yeah, that was a great wrestling town. It really was. It was.
Bert Prentice was running a fed down there, and Tony Falk. I don't know if you know them.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Now, you had actually at one point won an internet poll on onewrestling.com. Beating out 32 other women to become indie wrestling's hottest diva. What year was that?
That was a long time ago. That was like...
I think it was 2004?
I think it was like 2002.
Really?
I'm not sure. I think I'm pretty sure it was 2002. It was a
Did
long
you have
time.
To read?
An old-time veteran at 22.
Yeah. So, well, that was way back in the day. But you've actually had a lot of previous names that you went by. Considering, you know, it's been 6 years in.
Yeah, I've used the name Valentina on the indies. Like, that was the name I pretty much used a lot. And then when I went to XPW, I changed my name to J-Love because they had the character they wanted to bring me in was to play, like, a J-Lo type character.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought I was Hispanic for some reason. I guess I looked Hispanic, but my hair was brown. I was really tan, so whatever. So they thought it would be cool to call me J-Love. So I used that name. Then I combined them one time for Valentina J-Love, but right now, I'm using Lizzie Valentine.
In actuality, you're Italian, right?
I'm Italian and Hungarian.
Ah. Italians. See less?
I listen, I'm not down. I broke into business in Boston. She's talking about an attitude. I was in the Midwest when I went up to Boston. I thought, why is everybody mad?
Lizzie and I are Italians with sunny demeanors, though.
I hear you. Lizzie, so you actually then met Kevin Kleinrock with XPW, right?
Yeah, that's how I know Kevin.
Yeah. And so now you are the valet or the manager of Matt Sydal, right?
Yeah, I'm playing his girlfriend. I'm not even technically like a valet. I mean, that's what I am, but I'm supposed to just be his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you're going to be on the debut show next Tuesday night, of course, 10:30 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And what can the fans expect that's going to be different about XPW than, say, WWE TNA?
Well, it's totally different in the fact that there are really no names on the show. The only, you know, name wrestlers on the show are X-Pac and Vampiro. So WSX is really trying to make their own stars. It's not like TNA where they use a bunch of wrestlers from back in the day to try and build their product. They really want to build new wrestlers, and that's what you're going to see. Like, most of these guys you haven't seen anywhere except on the indies. So it's like a lot of young, new, fresh talent, a lot of high-flying, crazy spots, a lot of just crazy stunts. I mean, you're going to see tons of tables breaking, explosions. It's really cool.
And, of course, all this is squeezed into action. Well, you can say a half hour, but sans commercials, it's actually about 22 minutes of actual showtime.
Mm-hmm. Right. And at the beginning of the show, there's going to be a band playing for about 30 seconds, and then it goes right into the action. So, I mean, it's a really fast-paced show. It's not a long, drawn-out show with tons of promos that are like 20 minutes. You know, it's really a lot of just fast-paced action.
So the bands aren't really going to be playing entire songs or anything like that?
No, they're just opening the show for like 30 seconds.
Excellent.
Now, how's it working backstage with Cody Michaels? He's an old friend of mine.
He's cool. he doesn't really like women in the business that much, but it's all right.
Oh, that's good.
He told me to my face. He told me, you know, he's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really think women have a place in the biz. But
I'll have to chastise him the next time I talk to him.
Yeah, but he said I did my job well and that, like, me and Matt did a great job together, that he thinks that, you know, I helped elevate Matt Sydal. So,
well, good. Is Matt a babyface or a heel?
We're kind of, like, in between.
A tweener, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my character, I'm kind of like bitchy, but I'm not really that bitchy to the fans. I'm kind of just bitchy to Matt.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like you're a nice girl,
Matt,
but...
I'll tell you what. Now, there's a young talent that I've had a chance to work with Matt in a couple of different places. He's a heck of a talent, I think.
He's amazing. I mean, he's just so good. He can do so many cool moves, and he does them well. He doesn't do them, like, half-ass. Like, they're totally clean and, like, to perfection. He's great.
They're asking in the chat room if you're going to be on the special preview show that's going to air on Friday.
Yes, that's the same show that's going to air on Tuesday. But make sure you watch it on Tuesday because that's when it helps. That helps our ratings. You know, if you want WSX to go further, you
right.
got to watch it on Tuesday. So watch it both times.
Absolutely.
You mentioned your boyfriend. Is your boyfriend in the business?
Yeah, my boyfriend's actually on the WSX show, too. He's the ring announcer.
Oh, okay.
His name's Fabian Kalen. He's used the name GQ Money in XPW. So yeah, he's on the show, and he's also he's hosting WS Extra on the internet.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
James Orangecorn in the chat room is asking if the bands interact with the wrestlers.
Yes, you'll see some. You'll definitely see some interaction with some of the guys in the bands.
He also asked, do you think a half-hour wrestling show would work, or would you need more time? Do you think?
Well, it does work. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen the pilot already, and it is pretty cool. It's really fast-paced. I mean, it's like you can't look away from the show. You just want to keep watching it. But, I mean, of course, it would be really cool if the show was an hour.
Right, of course. Now,
yeah, it would be cool, but, I mean, the half an hour is cool, too.
Yeah,
so.
let me interject here that in talking to Kevin and Cody several times over the last couple of months is that at some point, and I'm sure they've told you this too, that they planned a tour. So obviously, if the fans really get into the characters and to the action, they'll see some two and a half hour shows if they take it on the road.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll be traveling everywhere. So
yeah.
That would be so fun. I love doing the live shows.
Excellent. Sounds great. Check it out, guys. Wrestling Society X on MTV next Tuesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Lizzie, I'm sorry we had to have such a short amount of time with you. Hopefully we can have you back as the season progresses on WSX and get into some more questions and some more discussion.
We've got the boss on next week. Kevin's on next week.
Yes. Kevin Kleinrock's going to be on with us.
You want us to brown him up for you? You want to tell us anything good about him, or you want to tell?
Yeah, make sure you tell him how much the fans love Lizzie Valentine.
All right.
And that Lizzie Valentine needs more airtime.
I'll be sure to tell him. I will. I swear.
Yes, okay. We will do that.
Can you also tell the fans right now to check out www.myspace.com/LizzieValentine.
/ Lizzie Valentine, guys, myspace.com, her very own special MySpace. Lizzie, thank you for being on, and like I said, we'd love to have you back soon.
Okay, cool. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Hey, listen, and good luck to you, and we hope to run into you down the road.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lizzie.
Bye.
That's Lizzie Valentine, guys. Check her out on Wrestling Society X. As we said, debuting next Tuesday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on MTV. That's going to wrap things up for this week.
Before we go, we've got Kevin Kleinrock, who is the boss man at Wrestling Society X.
Yes.
The producer, the brains behind the concept.
And Ace Steele.
Yes. And we won't say who Ace is, except he's a heck of a hand who just signed with WWE.
Absolutely. Check it out, guys. Next Tuesday, join us, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. For Les Thatcher, I'm Doc Young. Good night, everybody.